Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Paul Spooner again with the Paul Spooner Podcast. I am driving the old route back home these days because my family is all back in the United States. They all got on a plane and left me here all by myself. And as a result, I don't really need to be home in any particular hurry. And so I'm taking the slow way. And that gives me time to think and a place to stop and get some food on the way home, because I would rather not prepare my own meals. It's just kind of not something I'm particularly interested in. So I usually get something at the convenience store, a sandwich and some onigiri and maybe some little bit of salad or something. And it also gives me time to talk about stuff. So I'm working on this idea of starting a corporation. I've got lots of ideas that may or may not come to pass, but if they were to come to pass, it seems like it would be useful for me to have a corporation to kind of tie them all together with, to put kind of as an umbrella for all these crazy concepts that I'm trying to make real. So things like the ocean colony stuff that I've been working on for years, and this fledgling artificial intelligence stuff that I'm trying to figure out. You've seen on my blog, I'm sure, the swarm machining or the swarm manufacturing deal. And so that, and then there's tension cranes and what else? Tempered spheres, like glass spheres, and weight savings for space stuff. These disparate industries where the market's not being served properly. So I'd like to solve that problem and maybe make a lot of money in the process. So I want to start a corporation. The thought process has kind of been, and as with all things, I talked this through with Andy Wilkinson. He's been my second brain for a lot of these projects and a very good friend. So I'm not coming up with this on the fly. This is something I've been working on for a while here. But the process was trying to figure out, if I'm going to make a corporation, what kind of things would I like to do with it? One of the things I'd like to do is build really big stuff. Like, that just is really cool to me, building giant things. And so one of the things that I've been thinking about is integrating a lot of different things. And this kind of works in together with the swarm machining concept of being able to have a very large volume that's precisely controlled using laser trackers. And building things that are very big kind of necessitates that you justify that structure. And one of the ways that we can justify things that we're not doing currently is by integrating different services, different structures that require a structural framework into one structure. For example, there are bridges all over the place. Bridges need to be strong. They need to be able to withstand a significant load. So they've got these large structures. Some of them are even hollow inside. Some of them are girders, so you can build all kinds of stuff inside this structure. But they're empty. They're designed to only be bridges. They're not designed to be anything else. And it seems like a waste. You could design a bridge that's also, just by way of being a structure, a apartment building or a warehouse or some sort of, you know, office complex. I don't know, whatever it is. And make it a space that is designed for multiple purposes. It is a bridge, but it's also, you know, something else. And sometimes they do this with pipelines. You've got a pipeline and then it's also a footbridge. And I think that's a great example of using something for multiple purposes. You're already building the structure. It doesn't cost that much more. The marginal cost for increasing the structural strength a little bit so that you can have people walk on it and add a railing, it's almost insignificant. So you may as well do it. And then you can have all these different things kind of in the same building. It's a more efficient use of our resources. It's a more efficient use of space, because then you don't have all these things next to each other. They can all be in the one structure. I think it also has a great advantage of being, when you build a bridge, because bridges are a cool example, because they're really big and they're expensive to build, and you want to be able to pay them off as quickly as possible. So when you build a bridge, a lot of times it's designed to be able to be inspected and painted. It has to be maintained. It has to be kept up. And it just kind of seems really goofy to me that you would build a bridge and then pay people to go there but not pay them to live there. Like, why would you not provide a space for them to live if they're going to be going there anyway? And then, as long as you're building a space for them to live, you may as well just build a bunch of spaces for everyone to live, lots of people, and then those people can provide the inspection services. They can just be there, and it's like, hey, there's this big crack in my wall. Come and fix it. People are going to report these kinds of things, and then you don't have to pay anyone to inspect stuff. They'll inspect it for you just as a matter of living their lives. If there's some sort of leak somewhere, they're going to notice. They're going to be like, hey, there's a leak here. Come fix it. And you're going to be like, oh, thank you so much for telling me. Now the bridge won't fall down in addition to your room is fixed. So stuff like that just seems like, why aren't we doing this? And I suspect it has some sort of legal ramifications. You have to have insurance, or it has to be a certain building code or whatever it is. But I think those things are not important. I'm not interested in trying to keep the letter of the written law. I'd rather just keep the law of love. Doing things that are good for people, doing things that are profitable, things that help everyone, and then not worrying about the law. Because then you can be like, all right, well, we're just not going to worry about it. We're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. And, you know, if people don't like it, they can sue us, I guess, but we should be able to defend ourselves in court because it's the right thing to do. We're doing the right thing. We're making this in a way that is beneficial to everyone. So I don't know if there are any companies that have that view. I think most companies are more interested in sticking to the letter of the law and then using that to justify as much immoral activity as possible. Where I would like to go the other way around. I'd rather just forget the written law, and, you know, if we run afoul of something, it's going to be okay because we're going to be able to say, look, we understand the spirit of this law. The spirit is to help people have better lives, and that's what we're doing. So, you know, whatever it is that you have an objection to, go bother someone else. So, I don't know if that'll work. I mean, maybe I'll be sued into oblivion the first time I build anything, but we'll see. The scripture says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So, foundationally, fundamentally, there can be no law against doing the right thing. And any law that puts itself against that, I think, is in direct opposition to God. And I can just say to God, look, this person thinks that they are keeping the law, but they're actually breaking it. Take care of it for me. You know, like, because that's, God loves to do that. God loves to take vengeance on injustice on behalf of people who are doing the right thing. I think it'll work out. And if it doesn't, it'll be interesting anyway. But anyway, so that kind of thing I'd like to be able to do with my company. Stuff that people would be like, oh, you can't do that, and just do it anyway, because it's the right thing to do, not because it's illegal or illegal or whatever. So as a result, just kind of thinking this through, it's like, okay, I want to be able to do these kind of crazy things. I want to be able to do things that people would say, well, that's not right. You know, you shouldn't, that's not the way things are done. And as a result, I'm kind of expecting that people will form an idea about this company that it is somehow evil because it doesn't have respect for the written law, the laws of man, that is therefore necessarily an evil corporation, an evil group of people trying to do something, trying to get away with something. And I don't think there's any way around that. I think any group of people who is trying to do something radically good is going to get flack for it. So instead of trying to, and I see this in so many companies, oh, and this is the other thing, so many companies, so many people are trying to be good. They're trying to earn their goodness. They're trying to earn the approval of man. They're trying to earn the approval of God sometimes by doing good things. And so they want to be seen to do good things. They want to be like, hey, look at me. I'm so good. I'm doing all this great stuff. Aren't I great? But I don't care about that. Christ saved me. God is my salvation. I don't have to look good to be good. I don't have to worry about if people think that I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm not going to do the wrong thing on purpose. Sometimes I will fail, certainly, and I hope that I'll be able to atone for that temporally. But in an eternal sense, I'm not trying to earn a place for myself. That's already been bought. And so I feel like there's a huge void in our culture because our culture is so focused on this humanistic, temporal pseudo-morality that's based on people's opinions of you. I think there's this huge void for a company that is the kind of company that doesn't worry about looking evil. And in fact, kind of revels in the mythos of, we don't play by your rules. We play by our own rules, and if you don't like it, I mean, you're free to compete with us however you want, but we're going to put you out of business because we just don't care. that's the kind of company I would like to work at, where it's just like, sure, it says it's illegal, but this is clearly the right thing to do, so we're just going to do it. An incredibly pragmatic organization. And that's another thing. Pragmatism seems to be very frowned upon in our culture. It's like, oh, well, if you're doing it just because it works, that must be bad somehow. You're being immoral, or pragmatism is seen as somehow evil. And I think it's just backward. Pragmatism is good. We should be pragmatic. In the Bible, there's all kinds of examples of people being pragmatic and God being like, all right, good job. Or just not saying anything about it, because it's like, well, that's just reasonable. God doesn't have to approve of you being pragmatic. It's just, you know, you should be doing that anyway. So I think that there's this huge void in the market for a company that's kind of this bad boy company. And I am totally okay with running a company like that. I would be happy to do that. I'd be happy to be the evil genius with the evil mega corporation. With evil in quotes, because it's what people would call it, but I don't think of it that way. I don't think it would actually be evil, but I think it might appear evil to people. And so instead of trying to go out of my way to be like, oh no, we're actually good, we're actually really, you know, we're really friendly to all these minorities or whatever. I mean, like, I don't hate minorities, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to try to make myself look like I'm doing the right thing. I'm just going to try to do the right thing and let the implications sort themselves out. So that kind of thing, and then it, as long as there's an image, because you have to build some sort of atmosphere for your company, as long as we're going to have some atmosphere, and as long as people are going to think that it is evil, we may as well go for the theatrical evil thing. I mean, why not build a, you know, a headquarters that's all made of unpainted steel that rusts and it's got rivers of rust running from it, and like, you know, that kind of thing. I could have a crown and all my officers could have crowns and swords on their back. I don't know, stuff like that, where it's just like, yeah, let's go for the crazy evil genius motif. Because that's really what it is a motif. And there's so many movies recently about like, oh, you know, this guy's an evil genius, but he's actually not. He's just being pragmatic. You know, it's like, oh, but he's evil. You know, that makes him edgy or something. It's like, well, okay, all right, double down. Let's do this. Let's actually make a company that runs that way, that is a profitable company, that is just flat out intimidating, that has an intimidating, quote, evil, unquote, presence. And so then I started developing a logo for it, pointed alien head logo, and I'm having fun with it. But that's kind of where I ended up, was, okay, well, as long as I can see where this is going, right? Like, if I started a company, I'm like, hey, this is the Paul Spooner Foundation, and I like to build cool stuff, and I actually had some success, I imagine people would be like, well, why are you doing it this way? You have a moral obligation to behave like this. People have this law in their minds, this concept of what's right, and they try to hold people to it. And I'm not interested in being subject to their law. And that is, I mean, of course, it has to be in their mind evil. I mean, that is the definition of evil, is someone who is in rejection of the law. I can see where this is going to end up. So I figured I may as well just get there ahead of everybody and be like, hey, here I am. This is the conclusion you're going to come to, so let me just help you get there more quickly so that we don't waste our time fiddling around. That's a fun thing to play with. Okay, well, then, you know, there's so many fun things you can do with that. Like, you can have really crazy hiring practices, you know, where it's like, I'm not trying to be fair. I'm not trying to be balanced. No, I don't support, you know, equal employment. I am an unequal employment guy, and, you know, here, you have to sign a waiver to work here. You have to sign a waiver saying we can do anything to you. Medical experiments in your sleep, yes, we can do that. You know, if you were working for us, then we can, you know, chop your limbs off and replace them with cyborg implants. Yes, we can do that. Of course, I'm not going to, but we can. And you have to sign a waiver saying that we can. You know, like, that kind of thing. It's like, oh, this is, you know, what are they trying to do? If this is what they're telling us, then what are they not telling us? Oh, it's terrible. You know, like, that kind of thing where it's like, yeah, a company could be that. A company could run like that. There's no law saying, well, maybe there is a law. But there's no real principle saying that you can't ask someone to do ridiculous things to work for you. As long as you're upfront about it, as long as you're not entrapping people into it, as long as you don't change the rules on them when they're halfway through the process, you know, it's like, as long as you're upfront being like, hey, you know, here's our rule book, company manual, my word is law, you know, like, end of story, or whatever it is, you know, some sort of crazy, and it would be fun to write that up and, you know, have some principles that are their guidelines that are helpful to people. But not be coy about it, not be trying to make it sound good, just being like, this is the deal. If you are interested in this deal, then we would like to have you. If you're not, then please go somewhere else. That's just, it sounds so liberating to me when I've worked for all these other corporations that are trying so hard to quote, do the right thing, that they can't actually do the right thing because they're all tangled up in this concept that everyone else's concept is the right thing when it's not. That's not true. You don't have to play by everyone else's rules. And like I said, it might implode and backfire on me, and you know, the whole thing gets shut down by who knows? Who knows what's gonna happen? But I think it's worth a try. I think it's worth a shot. I'd like to see what comes out of it. And at least it'll be an adventure. And, you know, and maybe it will work. Maybe it will be something that is actually valuable to people. Something where it has a scary mask on, but it's actually kind-hearted and it has a soul underneath it. Whereas there's so many of these corporations that have this friendly facade, but there's nothing inside. It's hollow. There's no life there. And I want to work somewhere where there's life, where there's real life. And sometimes life is scary. And I think that we should just be forthright about that. Make that clear from the outset. So another fun thing that you can do if you're an evil mega corporation is cyborgs. Like, there's so much stigma against cyborgs in the popular culture, and companies are afraid to touch it because they're like, oh, we don't want our image sullied by this idea of enhancing humans with technology. But we're already there. We already do that. Like I said in a previous podcast, we're already cyborgs. I'm already a cyborg. And I have friends that are already cyborgs. Like, they've done it to themselves. They have implanted technology in themselves. Maybe not in their bodies, although some of them have, but at least in their minds. The way that someone's mind works today relies on computational technologies to a great degree. And many people have done this without even thinking about it. And the ones that I really enjoy interacting with are the people that have done it intentionally and have thought about it. It's like, you know what? I can be better at what I do if I assimilate this technology. It's the Borg from Star Trek. We are the Borg. It's true. It's us. Resistance is futile because it's the most efficient way of going about living. We will assimilate your culture. We will adapt everything that you have to serve our needs. Like, that is what we are. But it doesn't have to be scary. Although, if people want to be scared by it, that's fine. We're an evil mega corporation. We don't care. So, like, there's so many cool ideas. There's like, oh yeah, yeah, we can do that. That could be our byline. What is it? Cyborgs for your every need. Cyborg slaves! Cyborg slaves for your every need. And that's the other thing, slavery. Slavery's got such a huge stigma. It's like, oh, we can't, slavery is evil. But it's not evil. We're already slaves. Like, a citizen, being a citizen of a state means you are a slave. I can't see any other way to define it or see it. If you want to leave, you have to have permission. If you want to go somewhere else, you have to have permission. You pay a percentage of your earnings to this government. The government owns you for all practical purposes, for every way that matters, they own you. If you try to do something they don't like, they can kill you and no one's going to stop them because they own you. So slavery exists. It's existed forever. It will continue to exist forever. People are always going to be slaves of something, and it may as well be me. I mean, I may as well be in that hierarchy somewhere. So I would like to be a slave owner. I'd like to own a bunch of cyborg slaves. And I think that people should be forthright about this. That people should be honest about what is actually going on. Because what is actually going on is people are made slaves. And there are degrees of slavery. And our culture encourages becoming a slave. If you go to school and accrue school debts, you are a slave to that whole system of education. You are a slave to your degree, because then you have to get a degree that produces a job that will pay for your degree, or else you won't be able to pay off your loans. And if you try to go somewhere else, your loans will follow you. You can't get rid of them. You become a slave. It's so clear. It's so clear what's going on, and I think people need to be more honest about it. So here's something I would like to do in this company, this hypothetical company that I'm trying to figure out if it's even a good idea to start it, is there's a lot of expensive, specialized technology that is difficult to operate. And there's been huge advances in user interface and in producing machines that are easier to get along with, but there remains, and I think will always remain, a sector of technology that is cutting edge, powerful, expensive, and useful to only a few people. And there seems to be no real reason why that technology should be made user-friendly. In fact, it seems like it being un-user-friendly would be helpful because then people who are not familiar with it will not be able to hurt themselves or others with it. So I would like to design machines around people, to design cyborgs. Like, I would like to design a cyborg crane. A crane is a very powerful tool. It can lift things and lower things. You could, with proper software controls, use it to do a great many useful things, like lifting things and tossing them. You could use it like a trebuchet. I mean, all kinds of stuff that you can do with a crane. But we don't, because we have to have this interface that's very easy to use. But if you designed it around an individual person, around this person, one specific person, and they were in charge of it, it was their body. It's an extension of your body. It's a shell. It's a mech. It's a mech suit, really. I mean, a crane is a mech. It's a mechanism, and it's a suit that you wear. Like, you put it over yourself. You get into it. It's a mech in every sense that matters. It doesn't look like a person, but who cares about that? So if you design it around this individual, then this individual can become intimately familiar with this operation, and then doesn't need to be easy to use because he already knows how to use it. He will make it easy for him to use, and then it'll probably be very difficult for anyone else to use. I mean, he won't have to label anything, he won't have to have any manuals or anything, he'll just know how it works because he was there when it was built. He built it around himself. And so having a corporation that's designed around helping individuals become cyborgs, I think could be really, really useful, really powerful in advancing useful technology, you know, in producing this kind of culture that makes it okay for people to integrate technology into their identity. I guess I've reached the end of that thought. And there we go. Cyborgs. Cyborgs are awesome. Oh, okay, so here's another thing. Buildings. A building is a very complicated machine. It's very large. And usually you build a building and then you have to hire someone to take care of it. You have to hire people to build it. You have to hire people to survey. You know, there's all these things. And it seems like you could just do that with a single person. You have the building be a mech, a cyborg suit. It's a sessile mech. It can't grossly move, but it has elevators that can move. It's got doors that can lock and unlock. It's got fire doors. I mean, all kinds of things. So you could have an individual be the soul of this building, be the entity at the heart of it. And this person would then know how the building goes together. This person would know the ins and outs of it. They would be responsible for it. If something went wrong, it's their responsibility. It's their building. It's their body. They're responsible for its actions. But then, so now we've got these cyborgs, right? Cyborgs in the gross sense that they have a mechanical body that is identified uniquely with them and which they own, in the sense that everyone owns their own body. And that's another thing. Our culture rejects the idea of owning your own body because we're slaves. But anyway, so I'd like to make these freemen, free people, people who are free from, who are free, really free, who are not slaves, who have cybernetic bodies, bodies that are machine and man and computer all together, working together in harmony. But then you come to the question of, okay, well, if this machine is capable of great many things, if capable of things that humans are not, and it will also be able to be capable of hurting people in ways that humans are not capable of hurting people. So it essentially creates a weapon. Anytime you have an enhancing factor in human capability, you have also enhanced that person's capability to harm people. And so this is basically a weapons company now. In fact, a cyborg weapon. We are turning people into weapons. And that is attractive to me. I like that idea. Because ultimately, weapons are not evil. And people think they are. And so then they think this corporation is evil. And so it comes back to, okay, well, we may as well just embrace it in the first place. It keeps coming around. These are pretty tight loops. So if this is going to be a weapon anyway, then why not just make it explicitly a weapon? I mean, like, why not just put weapons implanted into it? Maybe not long-range military weapons, but weapons of the style that will be useful for a entity of the nature that this entity possesses. So, for example, if you have a body, which I hope you do, you will have one. Anyway, the body that you possess has some sort of immune system. Now, it might be very poor, and it might be very advanced. Human bodies have an extremely advanced immune system. Robots currently have a pretty poor immune system. They really need some external entity like a person to take care of them and to fend off malicious actions toward them. But if you get something the size of a building, you could have a robotic security force that is controlled by this individual cyborg, or by a very basic AI entity or something like that, that then patrols it and keeps it safe and watches over it and makes sure that everything is going according to plan and everything is maintained well and all this kind of thing. Then you're building cyborg soldiers, basically. Except, you know, they're not designed for offensive actions. It's a defensive maneuver. It's a defensive structure. The immune system is. But if you're building a building, say a very tall building, it's possible that airplanes can crash into buildings and knock them down. And if you are capable of being a building, it seems like you should be capable of defending yourself as a building. And so probably you'd put short-range anti-air missiles on top of the thing. Because, you know, it's for self-defense. If an airplane is going to come crash into you, you'd like to be able to shoot it down. And so that kind of thing is like, okay, well then we really get into the meat of what is it that a government will tolerate within its borders. Because I suspect that the United States government would not tolerate this kind of thing inside their borders. And so then we move overseas, we move international. This corporation then would be probably forced out, forced to go somewhere else, go a third world country or some other country that's more welcoming toward technological libertarianism, I guess. I'm not sure what it is, but it is a very scary idea for the modern mind to have weapons everywhere and to have these cyborgs that are controlling huge parts of infrastructure and to have people living where they are working. You know, it's this idea that you have to commute to work to be like that's some sort of ideal is just nonsense. It's incredibly inefficient. So I'd like people to be able to work where they're living and live where they're working. And if this happens, I suspect that I'll end up working at the warehouse or the factory or whatever it is, you know, that we're building this stuff at. And my family will too, because why would they live anywhere else? You know, that's where I am. That's where they should be too. I want everyone together. And, you know, company families. And so then you get company housing. And that is, again, like this sort of idea is like, oh, well, that's evil. Like to have company housing that you're trying to control your employees. Of course I'm trying to control my employees. They're my employees. I'm paying for their time. Of course I'm going to try to do that. And I'm going to try to make their lives as efficient as possible, as easy for them to do their jobs and enjoy the things that they want to enjoy as possible. So a lot of people have this idea that people need to be near cities, they can go to the nightclubs, they can go to these social events and things like that. And I am expecting to employ mostly introverts who don't want that kind of thing, who would rather just sit in their room all day and all night working on stuff that interests them. And hopefully those kinds of things are things that are also profitable. And so then I can just dispense with working hours entirely and just be like, do whatever you want. And, you know, we'll keep making money. And if we stop making money, then we'll start firing people. And then it becomes a commune. And so then it's like, okay, well then you've got this armed commune of cyborgs reproducing themselves and spreading all over the globe and international. And so, of course, and then come right back to the evil mega corporation thing. So there's all these kind of ideas that are precipitating out of my mind. It's very exciting. It's an exciting time. I don't know if any of this is actually going to happen, but it's really fun to think about. And it's helped me kind of structure my thinking about an ideal life in our modern technologically advanced society. And because in many ways, all modern societies are living a very backward life. They're living a very backward way, considering what we're technologically capable of. We just live in a very strange backward way. And I would like to personally not live in a strange backward way. I'd like to live in a reasonable way that takes advantage of the capabilities that we have. Because ultimately it comes back to love. Love is doing what's best for someone. And I would like to do what's best for myself and my family. And I think that is going to look very scary to a lot of people. And I'm okay with that. Thanks for listening. This is Paul Spooner of the Paul Spooner Podcast. I am at the mini stop and I am going to get some food because I'm hungry. Have a great evening, or day, or morning, or life, or if maybe you're in space and there aren't days like that. But you should enjoy the time when you're conscious, because it's over all too quickly.